My husband is not saved, but I'm praying for him every day. 1 Peter 3, I'm trying to live it out with his wife. By your conduct, they shall be won over. Since I've been doing that, he is now going to church. He still hasn't made that commitment in his heart yet, but it changed him in a mighty way.
Hey, welcome to Intentional Living on a very sensitive and important topic, talking about marriage and the roles between a husband and a wife in marriage. Where does submission fit into that? You heard her respond to 1 Peter chapter 3, where it says to wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some of them do not obey the word, they may be won over by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. So there's a responsibility in these marriages where you're not on the same page, you're not equally yoked. And so today we're going to try to take a very sensitive, biblical approach to this whole topic of marriage, submission. What does it mean? It certainly doesn't mean lording over someone, controlling someone, being bossy. Hey, listen, guys, if you're listening and you're married, that ain't what this means. In fact, if you're very clear on what the scripture says, it says to us, first of all, that we are to sacrifice our lives, to love our wives such, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. So the first responsibility is to those of us as men in the marriage, our responsibility to our wives. But today, we're talking about marriage, we're talking about submission, we're trying to get an understanding of what Scripture teaches and hear your story. And so if you want to share a story with us or how you handle this in your own marriage and what God is teaching you, please call our comment line at 888-888-1717. I want you to know that today we have all of our callers already lined up, some really powerful stories from a previous program that we'll be getting to in just a moment. But again, your comment is welcome right now. 888-888-1717 is the number, and we'd love to hear your story. All right, Elizabeth is one of those who called with this very question that we're starting with today on submission. So, Elizabeth, go right ahead.
Thanks, Randy. Appreciate it. I thank you for your ministry and everybody there. So I'm curious about biblical submission is always a tough subject among the church and for women. And my husband and I have been married almost 25 years, and we have three kids, two teenagers and an 11-year-old. And typically, we struggle with when we have discussions or decisions to be made. My husband and I are both very opposite personalities and upbringings. And we typically, when a decision or a struggle is happening or a decision needs to be made, half about the issue and half about the struggle of communication and how to do that. So what I'm curious about is, I believe that the biblical teaching of submission is important. And when there's two heads in a kitchen, one inevitably has to be the last say. Somebody has to make that tough call when there's no agreement. So that's just very, very hard when in my marriage, typically it's that my input is invited and he listens, but more often than not, I'd say he's not going to change his mind. And so I said last night, I said, well, I guess in this one, I just have to eat it. And he said, well, that kind of makes it sound like I always get my way. And I didn't want to say, well, yes, that's kind of how I feel. So I'm curious what your teaching would be about this recommendation of, is it actually biblically true that if that's what it means, when the mutuality doesn't work, it really does end with the husband?
Hmm. Well, that is a powerful question, and Elizabeth, well stated. And the Bible she's referencing a passage in the book of Ephesians in chapter 5, verse 23, where it says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. And of course, the context there is the church. We understand that the relationship of the church. But there's much that preceded that in the book of Ephesians leading up to that verse on submission. So I'm going to get there in a few minutes. But this has evoked so many comments over the years on our comment line. And I want to share two of them with you. And then I'm going to open the phone lines because here's what I'd like. I would like to have some of you today. We can get some, you know, we can get some people on the extreme ends of this calling. But I'd like to have some of you who have really walked the line in understanding what God's intention is, how you've learned as a couple to deal with this issue in a healthy way, in a biblical way. I'd love to have you weigh in on this And so to you, I open the phone lines, okay? 888-888-1717. We got two comments that I want to share with you. One is Richard from Washington. He listens there. He has a very strong opinion on submission on our comment line. Why don't you take a listen?
Hi, I'm enjoying your radio program. I've been married almost 60 years. I've had a beautiful marriage, and we've had wonderful relationship. And I just want to let you know that I don't believe that there is any such teaching in the Bible that it's supposed to be a mutually submissive thing. A mutual submission is that a woman is to be submissive to a husband, her own husband, of course, and a husband is to be submissive to the wife. The way I read Ephesians 5:22, that it's addressed to wives only. Only verse 25 is addressed to the husband and whatever is following. It does not say that he is to be submissive to his wife. I think you're doing a great job. God bless you. I just pray that the Lord will bless your ministry in a wonderful way.
All right. Thank you, Richard. I do have thoughts on this. I'll get to it in a moment, but I want to share Tammy, who called from Georgia, left a question on submission on our comment line. So take a listen.
Hi, my name is Tammy, and I live in Georgia, and I've just listened to the broadcast, and I just want to bring a point to you that sometimes that seems to be forgotten. I'm a Christian, and I'm actually married to a sociopath, and was told that by counselors, and I've left and come back, and left and come back, and left and come back, trying to be obedient, but you have got to give place. That sometimes it is a person's mission to destroy you. And then that is really hard to understand why God would want to let someone else destroy you when all they want to do is be unhappy. No matter how much you try to love them, their goal is not peace. Their goal is not harmony. Their goal is not love. Their goal is not agreement. They're oppositional 24/7. There's no peace. You just have to get away from them. You just have to walk away and leave. You cannot submit. If you submit, I don't know how you survive and submit.
All right. This is Intentional Living. We're live, and I can see some of you quivering with feelings on this topic as you're living it today. And because our time is so short, I suppose if we had 3 hours, we could just open the lines and just hear everybody's opinion. But here's what I'd like. I'd like to have some of you today who have walked the line, understand, have some growing understanding of what God's intention is in a very practical way of how this plays out in your marriage. Come on, guys. How this practically plays out, ladies, in a way that honors Christ. What is it? What does it look like when it works? Okay? 888-888-1717. I will say this. It's in the Bible. There it is, Ephesians 5:22, to the consternation of a lot of people. But I know guys have used that verse to kind of beat on their wives and say, look what the Bible says. Wives, hey, you're to submit to me, I'm the boss. That's clearly not what God is saying. If you have any understanding, come on guys, we have any understanding of what Scripture teaches, everything leading up to it, we can't just take one verse out of context, as it were, and say, well, there it is. We got to understand what leads up to it in those words of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4. He says, be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Hey, do you have the right kind of thinking, guys? Because this is all leading up to him, that verse. He says, be angry and do not sin in verse 26. He says, work with your own hands. Are you an angry person that's out of control? Are you lazy? Is your mind messed up? That's not the kind of thing that a woman in a marriage should be daily getting up and saying, hey, I want to submit to that, or going to be easy to submit to that. He says in chapter 5, walk in love, verse 2. He says in verse 8, walk as children of light. Verse 10, which is one of our ministry verse, figuring out what pleases Christ and then do it. In other words, we understand what God's intention is. Verse 17, therefore, do not be unwise. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Verse 18, don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Are we filled with the Spirit? And then he goes on to say, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs,
making melody in our hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always. And then he says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Now, in that context, here's what I believe, and then I want to hear from some of you who are saying, hey, here's how we're making this really difficult verse and reality and God's teaching in this culture in which we live work in a godly way. It's in that context of all of these things that Paul is saying, hey, guys and ladies, if we're doing these things, it's going to be easy to submit to one another. By the way, it's in the scripture there, verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Now, and then it goes in to say, husbands, love your wives, wives, submit to your husbands. At the end of the day, in any organization, there's a point where there have to be decisions that have to be made. And sometimes it's a hard decision. Here's the deal. The heavy weight is on us, guys. Because if we're going to make the decision, have to call the shot to say, hey, this is what we're going to do. If you don't have those other things clear in your life, walking in love, filled with the Spirit, proving what's acceptable to God, being angry but don't sin, working with your hands, being renewed in your mind, submitting to one another, you're a fool. Come on, let's just say it. We're foolish. I've learned my wife Donna is a whole lot smarter than I am in a whole bunch of stuff. And I'm a foolish man. I'm a stupid man. I'm a stupid person. If I don't say, you know, Donna, what do you think? What's your take? I got to evaluate that. We got to talk about it. Let's pray about it. Sometimes a decision is one direction. Sometimes it's another. But we have to do that. That's my take. I'd love to hear how this works in really practical ways in your life. Okay? Or you have a question maybe. 888-1717 is the number. We're in the deep end of the pool. We'll be back in a minute. I've got one thing for you that can help you deal with anxiety in your life, in your relationships, in whatever you're facing today. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with another Intentional Living Minute. You know, the Apostle Paul from prison writes to us in the book of Philippians to be anxious for nothing. And I'm thinking, here we live in the United States of anxiety, where 60% of college students now suffer from some anxiety disorder, and the stats for adults aren't much better. So what do we do? What's one thing that we can do to be anxious for nothing? Biblically, we are told to lay it down. 1 Peter chapter 5 in verse 7, it says, cast your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Can I encourage you today to just take whatever that anxiety is and lay it down, give it to Him? When you do, that's intentional living.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
That's the Intentional Minute for today. It's on the radio and it's online around the world. Every day, 60 seconds to encourage you to be intentional in your walk with Christ. I want to say thank you to those of you who are on this journey with us. Hey, life is so short. We're either on track or off track, and on track is an intentional life. Big topic today. Elizabeth started all this. Maybe you missed it. Here's just an excerpt from her call, and then we're going to get to your comments. We've got a lot of calls coming in.
My husband and I have been married almost 25 years, and we have 3 kids. And I believe that the biblical teaching of submission is important. And when there's 2 heads in a kitchen, one inevitably has to be the last say. In my marriage, my input is invited and he listens, but more often than not, he's not going to change his mind. And I said last night, I said, well, I guess in this one, I just have to eat it. And he said, well, that kind of makes it sound like I always get my way. And I didn't want to say, well, yes, that's kind of how I feel.
Mm. Wow. Powerful. Hey, listen, our lines are completely jammed. I think Elizabeth points out there, sometimes my wife would probably echo the same thing she's expressed at times. You know, I'm not sure you heard me or that you really understood what I was saying. And this gets back to communication, which I think Elizabeth was pointing out. I think sometimes, guys, we can just be stubborn. We can just say, I'm the boss. This is it, the way it's going to be. It could be because of our personality or our philosophy of life or how we interpret scripture or whatever. Sometimes it's just out of stubbornness that we just are going to say, this is the way it is. I'm the boss. I'm the chief. And that may permeate your life. Other times, it's just you don't listen or you don't communicate. You don't understand what your wife is saying. And I would say that the opposite as well. I would say to wives that sometimes maybe it's hard for you to really listen to your husband, what he's feeling. Maybe he's got some fear. Maybe he has some concerns. Maybe he's really feeling the load of the decision he has to make. Leadership can be a difficult thing, and especially if it's not a gift of your husband. Some guys, let's face it, and some women have leadership ability. And I think sometimes when you get a leader and a non-leader or two strong leaders in a family, they can knock heads. And that's why we've got to come back. Listen, the bottom line to this whole deal, as I see it, is love. And that's really what God is teaching us. We've got to have an attitude of love or it doesn't work. Looks like I can get Kathleen on the line from Florida. Kathleen, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. How are you today?
Thank you. What's your take on this, Kathleen?
Well, it's a funny thing because I was on my way home and I heard the opening of Ephesians that you guys were quoting.
Mm-hmm.
That was my husband's and my wedding vows 37 years ago. And what I've learned in submission, now I've made many mistakes. There are times I haven't submitted, but you know what? It's really weird how communication solves just about everything. The correct communication,
yeah.
A lot of things. And like when my husband and I had to make decisions, I would sit down and I'd say, this is what I think the outcome of this decision if we go my way. And there, and he'd tell me what his outcome was. Because it's the important thing is we got to try and understand how each other thinks. Women, nothing bad against women, because I believe they are the caregiver. They have to think of how do we get to it? What route are we taking? Where men said, I do have to think of that, but I have to think of the end result because of the way that they're designed. Majority of the time, 99, and let me tell you, it's very hard, like you said, two leaders in a household.
Yeah, you can knock heads. Are you guys doing a lot better now as far as communication?
Oh, years, yeah. And part of the communication is not to say what they're saying, but to say how it comes off to you.
That's good. All right. Thank you, Kathleen. I know you have a lot more, but I want to move on. We got a lot of calls coming in. Tina wants to join in. Talking about submission in Arizona. Tina, go ahead.
Hi. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. What's your take on this today?
You know, I have 11 wonderful years. And not to say that everything's always been perfect, but my husband is an Army veteran. And so when he retired or was disabled from the military, it was particularly hard. But I have just found that we make a lot of decisions together. But when he says, this is really what we're going to do, I just submit to that. And I say, okay, honey, that's what we're going to do. Now let's get together and figure out how to make it work.
Is that hard for you to do? When you think it maybe is, he's wrong or he hadn't thought it through? Or
it is, because I am naturally a take charge kind of person. I ran my own business and I was very independent. And he was in the Army. And so he's been deployed to Iraq and he was in Germany and I was here in the States. So it was very difficult, especially when he first came home in 2008, to really do that.
Mm.
But practice. I tell people practice makes better, not perfect, because unless you're Jesus and you can walk on water, you should be better, not perfect.
Mm. Do you feel understood by him? Do you feel like he hears you when you guys talk about a decision?
I do. And when I don't, I find that we take a break. And we step away, and we come back. And I say, okay, time for a break. And sometimes he gets frustrated. I'm like, okay, well, we can keep talking about this. But what's really going to happen is you're going to get mad and stop hearing me, and I'm going to get mad and stop hearing you.
Now, let me ask
nobody's
you.
Nobody's listening.
Tina makes a decision, and it turns out to be the incorrect decision. It didn't work out. What's your tendency?
Well, first I stop and pray, because my tendency is to go, I knew this wasn't going to work. So I had to learn to not do that, because that starts a fight, and that is never good. So first few years, again, very difficult. So I had to learn to stop and pray to calm myself, because the answer is always in prayer. I'm a Christian woman. I had a hard raising. I had to raise myself. Things were difficult. Not the show for that. So I've always had faith, but it's always been hard.
Okay, Tina, I got to move on, but thank you. You've shared a lot of good stuff with us today and very, very helpful. Appreciate your call from Arizona, Tina.
Yep, thank you so much for letting me speak.
God bless you, and you're welcome. You're all welcome to join in at 888-888-1717.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio.
There's one thing I want to share on this point that I think are important for us to live intentionally. Do what you can and leave the outcome to God. God doesn't intend for us to sit on our hands and just stand by. He wants us to be intentional. He wants us to be active. The scripture's clear that we are to be busy about the Father's business. We are to live our lives with intentionality. But where we mistake living intentionally is that sometimes we think, because I'm intentional, I control the outcome.
Wouldn't that be nice? But we don't. I want to be really clear for those of you who are new. Intentional living is not about you getting intentional enough that you're going to get saved, that God's going to like you more, and as a result of that, you know, you get to go to heaven first in line. That's just not reality. That's not the way it works. What it has to do is this. Our hope is in Christ. He does all the saving. It's not by works, lest any man should boast. But, you know, it's kind of a foolish thing to give your life to Christ, submit to Him as Lord, and then not behave that way, not behave in a way that would be consistent with what the Bible teaches. And a lot of people end their lives with feelings of regret, looking back, wishing they had lived differently. I've been around long enough. I've been around a minute or two and talked to some friends and people who've gotten to the end of their lives and recognize that they have regrets, that they have things they wish they had done differently. They wish their life had taken a different turn, a different direction. And you know, you can take wherever you are today. Maybe you're a young person or middle years, or even you're maybe a senior. But decide today to say, I choose to be intentional in my life. That doesn't mean perfect. But to ask the question, am I living life the way God intended? If not, what areas are not working? And what does the Bible teach? And where can I get some help? Well, we can help you. We're here to encourage you. That's why intentional living exists. And I just want to say thanks to those of you who've been supporting us, standing with us, praying for us, allowing us to get this message out every day. And if you're not a team member, come and join us. How do you do it? Very simple. You can call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, and press number 2. Or you can go to theintentionallife.com anytime and click on donate. And when you do, the information is there and a lot of helpful resources as well. Again, 888-888-1717. All right. Appreciate your support, by the way. Let's get back to the calls. Rebecca, you know, we're talking about submission in marriage today. What's your take on this topic?
Yes. I have been married for 5 years with a wonderful husband who I've been, I think, being equally yoked with your husband is an incredibly important thing. And I've always said that communication is always a huge thing, too, with being submissive to your husband. And I don't think being submissive means that you need to be quiet or just stand in the corner and not say anything.
So how do you define it? How does it actually play out? You sound like you're a young, you've only been married 5 years. Are you both pretty young still?
Yes.
How old are you guys? How old are you guys?
26 and 28.
All right, so you're in your 20s, which, you know, our culture today, young women talking about submission probably is not the most popular topic. How do you make it work? I mean, how does it actually work as a young Christian wife today?
It really is just not communicating with your husband enough to just, doing what he says all of the time, but letting him have that confidence in the Lord where he's hearing from the Lord and that's what he's thinking for the moment. And, but then also like putting in your own input as well. I think today's time, especially, there's all of these women who think that they need to have the last word. And it can sometimes be very damaging to to a man's heart. So it's just constantly giving in the input and not just putting your foot down and saying, I'm right, you're wrong, but just being a loving wife and not saying, you know, I told you so because you're wrong when they are wrong, but praying for them and letting the fruits of their confidence in the Lord and the confidence of the Lord through them, that it'll actually provide fruit for your marriage.
Pretty powerful, Rebecca. You're wise beyond your years. A young 20-something.
But
thank you for your call from Georgia, okay?
Thank you so much.
God bless you. I'm glad you're listening. We're Intentional Living. We want a biblical understanding. If you missed the program, maybe you're just catching the last end and you want to know what I think on this. I kind of gave you my thoughts earlier in the show. You can hear it on re-air. You can find it archived on our website at theintentionallife.com. But I will say this, it's in the Bible, but what precedes it is pretty clear. In other words, the setup for that verse puts the onus upon those of us who are in a leadership role to understand what our relationship is with Christ, where we are in terms of the Holy Spirit dominating our lives, to figure out what pleases Christ in doing it. We're walking as children of light and walking in love. Those are the things that precede all this. Love to hear your thoughts at 888-888-1717. That's been good. We got the discussion started. That's all. But if nothing else, I hope you're thinking about what is God's real intention for you. Can I challenge you today for one thing? To understand the scripture from the standpoint of love, God's intention of love.
My one thing that I wish and hope for is that I and my children, my daughter-in-laws, my son-in-law, my grandchildren, will be willing to do the will of God, to be willing to listen, to hear, to act, to love, to read the scripture, anything that is the will of God in our lives. Thank you for your radio station and your program.
Well, you're very welcome. And you know what? You're helping close the show today because you're reminding us of your one thing. You know, that's really sort of the core foundational theme of what intentional living is all about. Figuring out what pleases Christ and then do it. Not running in 42 directions, but having one thing every day that we grasp onto and have as a priority in our life, and that's yours. And we wish you much success with it. By the way, just a reminder, we have the One Thing wristband. I wear it every day, and I'd love to get it to you. If you have a commitment to one thing for your life for the next 30 days, to work on your marriage, your finances, your relationship, or maybe this topic today on submission, and what does that mean in your marriage, in your relationship? We'd love to get it to you. Just go to theintentionallife.com/WB for wristband, okay? I'm Dr. Randy, gotta run. And remember, intentional living is about figuring out what pleases Christ for His glory and your benefit, and then doing it every day.